What?
No, you've been talking.
I've literally
been talking.
Bro,
you know what he means.
Blake narrative,
you know
bro.
You know what I mean,
bro.
You know what I mean.
More excited.
You know what I mean.
More excited.
You know what I mean.
I'm ready to fight, bro. I'm like an attack dog. On my hind horse, ready to snap.
Yeah.
Gotta defend myself. I was supposed to defend myself. We here!
Hello, everybody! Welcome back to the 6 Yard Box Podcast for episode 103, and this is a very special edition of the program, where not only are we going over a little bit of the international break, not too much, though. Don't you worry, Blake. Oh, he's dead.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, anybody watching on YouTube, do you like the little studio edition that we got? International edition here. We're trying to make this break a little bit fun before we move on to even more exciting things with the Club World Cup. But anyways, this is not only special because of that. Today, we are also going over our postseason 24-25 awards. We're giving out best player, best fairy tale, most improved, biggest flops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest reason this is a very special episode is the man to my left. I want to give a special welcome back to a member that we haven't seen in a good couple of months. He's back from London. Welcome back, Miles. How are you, my friend?
Thank you. It's good to be back. Beautiful setup. Love what you guys have done with the place. And
thank you.
So happy to see what you guys have done since I've been gone. I've been watching from very close and afar at the same time. It's good to be back.
How's London?
Great. I mean, it was great, but, you know, football obviously didn't go the way we wanted, but still had fun along the way.
That's what matters, right?
Hoping for a better next season.
Can we get a final check on Miles' curse? Did you draw points in half the games you went to?
I was going to save it for the episode.
Did you keep track?
Of course I kept track.
Oh my God. Wait, the fuck?
What a guy.
Hold on.
Oh. I missed
this dynamic.
Yeah.
I did.
It's bad.
30 seconds.
I wrote it down.
In 30 minutes, we'll all be yelling at each other.
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Give me one sec. We'll talk.
Yeah. All right.
I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't remember.
Okay.
It's all good. It's all good. Phone. But just like otherwise.
It was amazing. I mean, if you guys are lucky enough, when you get the chance to go abroad, go watch some footy, literally any team, anywhere, as long as it's in Europe or in the UK, it's
100%.
It's an amazing experience.
And you went all around Europe too.
Yeah, followed Arsenal home and away, abroad and domestic.
This guy just went a couple of minutes ago. He's like, "Yeah, I was in Berlin last week." I'm like, "What?"
Well, I mean, if you're
like,
if you're, you know, if you're from North America and you're going to Europe and you have a lot of time there,
yeah,
you
want to do it right.
Well, you're not.
Everything's so close too.
Yeah. Exactly, everything's very close, and you know, when the parents come through and they pay for the trip. Not gonna say no.
Shout out the parents.
Shout out the Dukes.
Hit Scotland as well recently. So yeah, everything was good. But nah, for real, I'm happy to be back. I'm excited. This summer's gonna be big. Big things coming. So yeah, I'm excited to continue on this journey with you guys.
Stop
yeah.
I do have to say one bad thing about you, Miles. I do have to expose you here a little bit.
That's okay. Oh yeah, go ahead.
I got word last weekend that you didn't watch the Champions League final.
Oh yeah, that's boring.
Yeah, that's boring. Yeah, that's his. The rumors are true.
Glad.
Yeah, I would say I have to be honest. The reason why I didn't was because I was moving into a new apartment. But at the same time, it is the Champions League final, and it is unexcusable. I do want to apologize to all those.
What's
that
the sentence
were involved.
For that?
Yellow card offense. I'd say.
I think it's a little more.
I don't know. If you go to the box on the sideline, check the VAR. I really think it shows that the entire time, from 9 a.m. to about 6 p.m.,
couldn't take a break.
Okay. I mean, you have a desk.
Yeah.
You have a chair. You have kitchen supplies to take care of. I'm living with two other people. This is an apartment. This is not just me by myself.
Gotcha.
You know. So you know,
I
do
like
want to apologize. I admit it. I told Julian, like, I was like, listen, I'm not watching. But, you know, you are right around the corner from me, so, but...
Yeah, I was really close to you.
Yeah, so, but I am sorry. But congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Well, sort of. I didn't want PSG to win, but...
Did you see what this guy texted in the group chat before?
Oh, hey!
Let's just take it down. But yeah, did you see what this guy texted in the group chat before the game? He said, "Ale," but with a fucking Italian flag.
It's a joke, yeah.
That's kind of funny.
I mean, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I obviously wanted Inter to win, but I, at the same time, like, I'm happy
fucking
for you, but
asshole,
I didn't want PSG to win.
Okay.
So
interesting.
No, but like, is that wrong for me wanting the like for you to be happy, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know. It's the same thing that Julian's been doing, where he's like, oh, I just want Antoine
Julian,
to be happy.
No, Julian genuinely want a PS5.
Loki, I know. I need to talk about Julian. Dude,
put your light on. I just forgot. What were you saying though?
The absolute glaze fest that Julian was doing, not only like for Antoine's sake, but he was doing stuff with Fan First. And he was like acting, I swear you were jumping around acting like you were a PSG fan.
I was in the midst. Like I was in the crowd.
He was surrounded by PSG fans. What more do you want? You want him to boo?
I know. I'm trying to think, like, what would I do in that scenario as I'm literally just watching Lucas Podolski highlights on repeat?
Blake, I guarantee if you were in my situation, hosting for Fan First, you would have done the exact same thing. Yeah, I bet you. It would have been any team.
Yeah, but you've been like.
If it was the Inter fans instead, like, in my heart of hearts, I did want PSG to win, but in that moment, I probably would have celebrated with them because that was also my job description the day. But I showed extra passion because, yeah, I didn't want PSG to win. This guy was, like, crying to me. He asked me where I was from. I'm like, oh, Portugal. And he was like, oh. We got, like, deep talks. Like, he had just won the Champions League. The whistle goes off, right? I turn the corner. He points at me, and then he hugs me.
Yeah, see.
I was like, oh, that feels
good. That's, like, terrible.
You're one of us, by the way. You're welcome anytime you want.
See, that's terrible. I hate that sentiment. Why the fuck is this random guy?
That's just out of love.
Hugging this random Portuguese fucking fake Benfica fan. That's not why. You should be hugging the people who have been with you on this PSG journey.
That's out of love
for
football.
For the rest of time.
No. When certain moments like transcend fandom, where you're just happy. You're just happy for people, Blake. Can you be happy for people?
I'm happy for Julian. I mean, for Julian? I'm not happy for you. I'm happy for Antoine.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, not as happy as you are, but yes, happy.
You didn't introduce today.
But
you
it's also different. Oh, shit. He didn't introduce me either. It's also different though, because your team is so irrelevant that like you don't have any stakes in any of the things that were important in football this season, besides the Europa League. Ooh. But if your team just got knocked out by PSG, I guarantee you would not have this level of affection for Antoine and his team as you did.
Blake, if Arsenal had gone and won the Champions League,
you would not celebrate like you just did.
No,
you wouldn't. You would not be in the middle of a fucking pit going, oh, Arsenal. Oh, you would just not.
No, I
would also have been there. I would have been there. So
yeah, but I would be happy for you.
I'm happy for Antoine. I'm saying you're not looking at the context. We're looking at big picture here. Miles can agree with me. There is no way that in the scenarios were reversed for United and Arsenal that you would be that ecstatic about PSG winning. You just can't. I'm not ecstatic about anyone winning the fucking Stanley Cup, American sport reference. I'm not ecstatic about like anybody winning, I don't know, anything else because my team was so close. Anyway.
This team wasn't close though. At all.
Jesus Christ. That's another factor. But like,
yeah, it wasn't
look,
close.
You just can't help but be happy.
Like, relax, bro.
No, there's certain moments where you just can't help but be happy for people.
Yeah, and like genuinely, I'll do that. Like I am happy for you. Genuinely. And you can tell. When I look you in the eye and I say I'm happy, genuinely I'm happy.
Because
at the end of the day, I wanted you more than Inter, for sure.
Thank you.
It makes me happy seeing all these people so happy. They just won their first ever European Cup in their entire history. They've been through so much pain. Like, that's what football is about.
Champions
the
League.
Fandom and everything. You've won a European Cup?
Yeah.
Really?
1996? 96?
96 was Champions League.
No, it wasn't. It was like the equivalent of the Europa League back then. The competition that they scrapped to add the Europa League.
Mm. Like the Cup Winners' Cup?
Cup Winners' Cup.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Anyways, your first Champions League.
Yeah.
And it's a massive moment, and you can't help but be happy for them. And it fills me with joy seeing that, not just because, like, no, like, obviously, like, obviously,
you're just disregarding my point, but it's fine.
There's a selfish sense where, like, I do want my team there one day, but then, like, doing the pod with Antoine Saturday night was genuinely one of my favorite pod episodes just because the joy in the room was radiating. And it made me happy, too. It brought my mood up just because I'm happy for them. I love seeing moments like
that's
that.
That's great. Maybe you're just a great person, then. I'm happy for you that you felt happy.
Okay.
Again, you didn't take my point at all. You didn't even acknowledge it.
It's fine.
It's okay. It's okay.
You didn't introduce us.
And if my team was close, let's do that. Anyways, arguing with me here on the couch is Blake. How are you doing, Blake?
Good. Miles got me this. Miles was, oh, I love doing this.
Do the turn. Do the turn. Yeah.
I have my Miles with Skelly jersey.
Hey, great jersey on you, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. We're rocking the next season's kit. We're going to look so good.
That won't have y'all.
Finishing top half.
And next to Blake is, I promise I'd do this.
Do it.
The European champion, Antoine Leonard. Thank you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing.
Yep.
Better than ever, yep. As always.
How long will the Champions League win carry your mental health?
Or just be it's on a run right now.
You know, you're just feeling like no matter what happens, it's like we're the fucking Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like this for a while now.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Into next season. Maybe into next season.
Antoine had a little bit of like a little bit of sassiness at moments before we start recording. I'm like, this guy has some winner's confidence, man.
Did it?
Yes.
I was watching back on the old pod, the last pod we did. Winning a Champions League really like carries you away. Because some things I said on that pod, like I really just I didn't care.
Oh yeah.
I did not care.
And you should
we were trolling. We were trolling.
You shouldn't care. Like,
we were trolling Bastoni in there, we were trolling Barella, we were trolling Inzaghi.
Yeah.
Inzaghi's here we go to Saudi boys.
Yeah.
Disgrace. Jesus Christ. Disgrace.
Yeah. You guys see Gabriel turn down Saudi?
Did he?
Like a huge contract from Saudi to stay with
good as
the Arsenal.
I just like Inzaghi is a manager. You would get paid 26 million euros
26 mil a year. But
I was seeing this in our comments. It's a fair point. It's different when you're a manager. You can do 2 years in Saudi and come back and still be at the top of your game. It's not like you're a player and you're running out of years to.
And yeah, like you want to make your national team, that's like just shit like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's fair.
That's a good point.
Like he's still relatively young comparing him if you compare it to other managers. Yeah. Like the managers want to manage until they're 78.
Yeah. The whole concept of money is different when you're in your older years, if that makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you know what the rest of your life is looking like, pretty much. You live out your managerial days and then you're retired. You're after that. Like you retire at 35 as a professional footballer, then what's next? So getting that money in your pocket from Saudi is way more of an incentive, which is why getting that bag as a manager for Inzaghi, like I don't love that.
Yeah, good for him. I don't know.
I don't love that, man. I feel like
it doesn't show as much ambition from Inzaghi because it's just kind of like, in a way, I find it kind of a bit of a cop-out just to get your money, which is like respect, you got your money, but.
And if like Mourinho went to Saudi.
He's going up against like Al-Hilal every week, like, fuck.
Yeah. He has more to give.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways.
Quick update. I found the stats. So we've got. So we talked about this in, I think it was January, about the curse of Arsenal. And obviously, everyone knows no trophies again. Came second again.
Really?
It was rough.
What happened?
Don't. Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Don't let him get to you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, you're so dumb.
We've got.
So dumb.
Scores on the doors. It was a good season. 7 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses. That I attended.
So we're positive.
So yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's 7-5.
Okay, yeah. So I guess mild curse did not affect the happening.
7-5. What?
We 7 drop wins, points in
5 games where you drop points.
Okay. Yeah. I would just like to say like one of those draws was against Liverpool away. So with 10 men. So that was like a good draw.
Fair.
But
you're above 500. There you go.
Yeah, it was good. Unfortunately we lost. One of the losses was the big one against PSG at home, which we should have won. That was a difficult game. Spent a lot of money. A lot of fun, but.
You should not have won. You didn't play like you should have won.
No. I'm just
not getting into this, bro.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, it would have been nice if.
Okay, right.
You know,
we could have won that. But.
No, please don't. Like, you're falling into that Arsenal thing again.
I'm just saying, bro.
I love that for miles.
I'm just saying.
No, I just.
You can go both ways, bro. I mean, you can talk all the shit you want. You won, so who cares?
Let's get into a little bit of international break talk. There's only, like, one or two games to talk about. Blake can fall asleep here.
This is the part where.
And then we'll get a little bit into. And then we'll get a little bit into transfer news and debates. And then we'll get into our postseason awards, okay?
We'll leave it to Julian and Antoine.
There is football games to talk about. Antoine, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know any other game to talk about besides Portugal.
Well, I mean, that's the only game that really happened. If like the only big game, let's be honest.
Great, let's talk about it.
Big game.
Bring your mic closer to you, man. Do it.
This is unprofessional.
This is very unprofessional.
You can complain, but complain with your mic in front of you.
You have today, actually, Ecuador-Brazil in the World Cup qualifiers.
You do have a World Cup qualifiers, yes.
That matters. You want to talk about a game that matters? Yeah, okay, sure. I'll tune into that.
No, you won't.
Yeah, I won't, but that matters. That's a game that is actually has some meaning towards it.
You're winning the Nations League gets you a spot in the World Cup, too.
Yeah, for Germany and the Euros, Portugal, who are already in the World Cup, probably. Are they not, like, pretty much already qualified in their groups or whatever?
I'm sure we would have made it out of the way.
So, like, come on. But whatever, go ahead.
It's a trophy.
It's the national team equivalent of the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, actually.
You know?
And There's no other games to talk about because that's the only quote unquote big game that happened so far in this international break.
Yeah. So, you know what? When United won the FA Cup, I was happy. We would all be happy with an FA Cup or the French equivalent of that, you know, even if it's just for a little bit. If Portugal win the Nations League, I will be happy for a little bit.
Yeah.
It wouldn't compare when Portugal won
the first one. I bet you were happy.
The Nations League, yes. Yeah. It wasn't anything compared to 3 years earlier in the Euros. It wouldn't compare to a Euros win or a World Cup win because it's a different level of trophy.
Exactly. Same with France.
Still a trophy. You won in 21. We won in 19.
Exactly.
Like,
and your win brought a cold-ass picture, too. The Ronaldo one?
Yes.
With the trophy?
Yes.
Come on.
And that's a moment I'm going to remember forever. His hat-trick against Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Fucking great moments in there. I'm always going to remember.
So I want to understand, like, what's the big deal in watching that game from YouTube, boys. Like
so
that.
Yeah, we were watching this game and texting about it because it was a great game.
It was a good game,
and we
good
were getting shit half. In good the group half. Chat for watching football. Explain.
I've said my piece on this topic a million times.
Not on pod.
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. Say it again, then.
It was almost like you guys were rage baiting. Because there is no way that we watch this much football throughout the entire season that you see a Nations League game that, sure, I guess had moments or whatever.
It did not have moments. It was a great, great second.
There was
half.
A double save in there that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was good. But, like, at the end of the day, guys, in 3 months, are we going to care about this game? No. In
the first
a
time,
year.
The first time Portugal beat Germany in 5 years, I think.
25.
Yeah. And
wow.
If that was in the World Cup qualifiers, that was in the World Cup group stage, that would be shouted from the rooftops on every major news outlet. But because it was in the Nations League, no one gives a fucking shit. We're going to care about that PSG. We're going to give that PSG performance for like years and years and years to come. We're going to talk about that for a while. That's going to be on the next tier list that we do in 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, it's a Champions League final.
Bro, it just, this game doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not as much as the big competitions, obviously, but it matters.
If you're equating it to the FA Cup, of international football, then we don't watch every FA Cup tie. I know it's Portugal, so I get why you would watch it.
Yeah,
but it's like
it's a semifinal now.
But who can?
Well, like, but Blake, like we'll talk about smaller games in the FA Cup. And if you really think about it, like week to week in the Prem, those games individually are not as big as this game right here. And you brought up the point about World Cup qualifiers matter because it's a spot in the World Cup. Well, I would argue that this is actually more important because an actual trophy is on the line in these games, not just a ticket to get to the tournament to win a trophy.
I totally disagree.
Obviously, qualifiers are important, and this is like a different deal, but it's either this or friendlies. What do you prefer?
Neither.
Not saying that this is like the be-all and end-all.
This is a glorified friendly. Bro.
I'm not saying that this is the be-all and end-all. I'm not saying that, but Nations League is a trophy. If Poland was in this position, you would be treating it as 100%. One. And when the CONCACAF, when the CONCACAF Nations League rolls around, or the Gold Cup, or something like that, and Canada's doing well, you're just as locked in as we are right now. Now, admittedly, if Portugal was not in this tournament at this moment, if we went out to Denmark, would I be locked in on Nations League right now? Probably not. If France was out, you would probably not be as locked in either. Because when you take out our personal investment in these teams, yeah, this trophy does not matter as much to neutral fans. I totally understand that. However, if or when one of us wins this trophy, respect that. If we're happy, respect that. That's what football is about.
It's the same thing with you supporting PSG in the final. It's kind of the same conversation.
I'm getting hated on for showing fandom. This is a podcast, mate.
What do you want me to say? I said my piece. You said your piece. I have nothing to fucking add. I can keep going. We can argue for fucking 20 minutes if you want.
It's when the pod's out.
International football sucks, bro. It's not entertaining to me. It never has been. Mm-hmm. I've never been lucky enough to have a team that has made me want to watch international football whenever international break comes on. So you can talk about, yeah, you know, it's like, you're right. My team never is in it. And even if they were, I don't know what it's like to really have a good team to support in, on the international level. So I'm not going to ever have this opinion. Poland will never be in this position. Canada is never in this position until recently, and it still hasn't even been close to what France or Portugal has ever been able to achieve on the international stage. So I'm never going to have this opinion. I never will. It's never going to change.
Let's talk about the game.
Let's do it. Can I just say before, I wasn't rage baiting in the group chat, but once you started saying it, I was kind of texting a little
bit. I noticed he started texting asking questions about today, and both of you were not responding. I was like, oh, there's something that the two of them have like linked up so that they can piss Blake off.
We actually didn't even coordinate it.
It was just
no coordination
whatsoever.
It was just, we were just watching the game. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all. It was the thing that got
that got you two, I think, was when you guys were asking, like, okay, what's the plan for tomorrow's pod? And Antoine goes, let's talk about it after this game. Yeah. I'm locked in right now. I'm like, wow.
I couldn't focus. I'm telling you. Because when I saw Chico going to this out, do that.
It was a game of two halves, this one.
It was.
It was. Germany looked really good in the first half. We looked a little bit tired. I was not happy at all with Roberto Martinez's team selection. Mm-hmm. Again, I know there's he eventually scored the winner, but Ronaldo in this team, I don't love. I have to say, do not love it. All right.
I know, but you got into detail as to why, but you probably refreshed people as to why you don't like him.
I've just seen way too much of Ronaldo putting up subpar performances and keeping his spot in the team due to politics. This is not politics. This is sport. Obviously, you have to respect what he's done for his country, and for that, he should never ever miss out on a champ or a Portuguese squad selection as long as he's playing. Obviously. However, at this moment in time, is he a better option than some of the other strikers that we could put in that position? Like Gonzalo Ramos. I kind of flip-flop because Gonzalo Ramos isn't starting for PSG, and I'm a little bit like, I don't know. There aren't really that many good striker options outside of that. So, like, I'm a little, like, I kind of, like, flip-flop between, like, should he be starting, should he not? My problem is when it's clearly not working and he stays on because of his name. He played every minute of our Euros campaign. Even when he was horrible, even when the games didn't matter against Georgia. So what I'm saying is that I don't have a problem with him playing so much. It's just obvious to me that the reason he is playing so much is one, to the detriment of the team, and two, because of flat out politics, which I hate.
It's definitely a difficult situation to manage because you don't, as you said, apart from Gonzalo Ramos, who doesn't start for PSG and doesn't get consistent minutes if it isn't Ligue 1. Mm-hmm. You don't really have that many options at striker. You don't really have a breakout talent like it's you like have in other positions.
Jota, maybe?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like really hard to manage. Do you trust the guy that's completely transformed the way in which we see your nation?
Yeah.
Or do you trust a guy who can be very inconsistent in form but has a crazy ceiling?
That's the thing, right? Yeah.
So I do see where you're coming from. Like with that, I would tend to agree with you. I think Ronaldo, especially after watching yesterday's performance, even though he scored, I'm not sold. I'm sorry. I'm just not sold anymore. The amount of misplaced passes, the amount of times he made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Like, people need to take their bias out of it at the end of the day. Ronaldo was not good yesterday. I don't think he was.
And he does well in the qualifiers, in the Nations League, in the friendlies. Mm-hmm. But when the Euros and the World Cup has come along, like, for two tournaments straight now, his selection has really impacted our performance in these tournaments. And I cannot sit here and pretend to be okay with that.
And so it's not,
that's the thing.
And we're not forgetting what he's done for the
obviously like not.
That's the stupid part of the argument.
Obviously
right?
not.
Just because he's brought you all this success, that like you just forget him like that.
Yes,
it's the same thing with Mbappe to PSG.
Yes,
right. It's just because he did so good before. Why are you forgetting him so quick? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you have to draw the line. You have to call it quits at some point.
That's exactly it. He's 40.
He's 40.
He's 40.
He's 40 years
and
old.
And yes, he's one of the greatest players of all time. But can we rely on him when the lights get brightest is my question. So, anyways, second half especially, fantastic performance from the lads. They picked it up, especially when Vitinha came on. Yeah. I thought we looked brilliant. His connection with Bruno Fernandes, wow.
That's a midfield duo I didn't know I needed to see
mm-hmm.
until I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And goddamn,
I wish I timed this.
What are you saying?
Nothing, keep going.
He's timing it.
I wish I did.
Between him, Vitinha, and João Neves, mm-hmm. wow.
João Neves starting at right back, I've seen.
We don't have many options. I mean, we have João Cancelo who can play there. But
Dallo,
that's true.
Semedo.
Hey, on Font Mob, World Cup qualifications are higher than Nations League. That's all you need to know. Anyway, keep going.
Like rankings? Like, what do you mean?
Like, what pops up first?
Oh, well, that's the be all and end all. You know the women's Premier League appeared above the Europa League?
That makes sense.
No,
I think so.
Is it? Did Arsenal win it?
No.
Not Chelsea.
But we won the... Yes, sir. UCL champions.
Anyways. and then that man, Chico Conceição, coming on.
Respect. Wow. Seriously, respect.
He's put on some great performances in a Portugal shirt.
He has. He was the one that scored the winner against, was it Slovakia in the group stage? I remember he scored Czech Republic in the group stage. He was the one that scored the winner.
Yes.
Or the equalizer. What was it? It was a winner.
It was the winner. It was a winner.
Yeah. There's many, many performances in a Portuguese shirt that go kind of under the radar, but he's been solid the last couple of years.
It was 25 years ago we beat Germany. That was the last time. And in that game, who scores the winner?
Sergio
Conceição.
Yeah.
And 25 years later, after getting demolished in 2014, demolished in 2021, so many times we've taken the field against the Germans and gotten embarrassed. 25 years after his dad did so, Chico Conceição pulls out a banger to spark the comeback against Germany.
And not just a banger, a masterclass.
And that is just poetic, isn't it?
Oh. That's the thing. That's football, right?
Exactly.
You can't write these stories.
Write these stories.
It just happens. What a performance. I mean, especially in that second half. And you said specifically when Vitinha comes on, but even before that, the second half, I don't know what Roberto Martinez told them in the dressing room, but it was all Portugal.
It was
all Portugal. I barely saw Germany get a sniff of the ball.
Oh, yeah. Second half, we completely dominated.
And I can agree that the German bench is not as solid as the Portuguese bench, and the Germans have a lot of injuries right now.
Yep.
But, I mean, you want to talk about dominating a second half or dominating a half, that you can't get much better than that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The second goal.
Beautiful.
Brilliant stuff.
And I thought it was offside, obviously, because they showed the wrong angle on the on the stream. But that layoff from Bruno Fernandes won't get talked about much.
Yeah.
It's mostly the work from Nuno Mendes that's getting talked about. But to lay that off in the perfect path for Nuno Mendes, that's great work. That's incredible. And that's... A lot of people are forgetting Bruno's quality. I guess not this season because he's been good.
What?
No, this season he's been... Okay. But specifically you, calling him overrated a lot. A lot of people tend to forget Bruno's quality.
Bro, he could step
into pretty much any team in the world.
I've gave him his flowers this season.
Yes, but there's still a lot of people...
At the end, for like 3 weeks
that Bruno is an overrated player.
All right.
What did you say in November when we were talking about who needs to go on United?
I still think he needs to go. But he has a great season. But I'm not getting into this. You guys are talking about Nations League. Keep going.
Yes. Yes. Fantastic performance from him. Mm-hmm. Like, who's put up mixed performances in a Portugal shirt, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But today, in that role, kind of sliding into the channels and kind of distributing, and, bro, his link-up play with Vitinha especially, like, they genuinely looked unplayable. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, man. And then Conceição as well with a little nutmeg, and then he almost scored a second. Ter Stegen pulled out some great saves. It was fantastic. It was a picture perfect second half outside of like a post from Serge Gnabry.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that,
Adeyemi,
sorry. Yeah. Perfect performance.
Yeah.
And it does make me excited. It makes me worried because Ronaldo technically scored the winner, which means there's more reason for him to be starting when the lights get brightest, which does make me worried, I have to say.
Uh-huh.
However, the overall team performance can still carry that issue if we're playing like we did in that second half. I loved it.
Totally.
Loved it, man. Also, beautiful.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Pre-match attire. I'm still not sure. It's going to take me a while to get used to Puma on our shirts, but
yeah
this is beautiful.
Is that your new kit sponsor?
No. Puma? Yeah.
Wow.
Like 25 years or something we were with Nike. I don't love it, but this is pretty nice, I have to say.
It is nice.
It's nice, but I don't.
Shout out Papa B, man. He got this for me for my birthday, and I was yet to wear it until now. I always planned on international break wearing it.
Big game tonight?
Yes. Let's talk about fucking today's game.
Yeah. Starting with Blake.
What do you want me to say?
How do you even envision this performance? This game?
Could care less.
Do you know who's playing?
It's Fran.
Ed?
Fran?
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm worried, honestly.
Are you worried? It doesn't matter.
I'm worried because there is so many people talking about this game being the Ballon d'Or decider.
That's ridiculous. God.
And that's why I'm worried. Because
that's the issue with this whole... Oh.
But that's why I'm worried because it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. This game shouldn't have anything to do with a Ballon d'Or decider. And just because Lamine Yamal goes out and says, if we want to decide it Thursday, let's decide it Thursday... Then now, all of a sudden, everyone has their eyes on this game.
Blake.
And you know
damn it doesn't matter what you think. This game matters. This game matters. It's a trophy on the line, plus it's the two Ballon d'Or favorites.
Mm-hmm.
facing off against each other.
And the fact of the matter is, Lamine Yamal is going to have a much better performance than Dembele today, because Dembele isn't nearly as useful.
I guarantee you. And he's hungover.
He isn't nearly as useful as he is for the PSG team for France. Yes. He doesn't even play in the same position that he does. Deschamps said that Mbappe was going to play as a striker. So Dembele is going to be coming off the right wing, which he's very good at, and that's his natural position. But he's going to be nowhere near as good as Lamine Yamal, because Lamine Yamal is a generational talent who loves to exploit tight spaces, which he will have a lot of exploiting to do in the France game.
100%.
So, a little worried.
Who's your left? Like, will it be Theo?
Luca, maybe? I think Theo might have not got called up.
Okay.
I'd have to double check. See, like, we're not fully locked in. We don't know everyone that got called up. But we're, like, we're slightly locked in. You know what I mean?
Blake here is very upset with the fact that this game matters. But the reality is that PR in the Ballon d'Or does matter. And this will have... maybe more than we want, but it will have an impact on the eventual winner in October.
It's embarrassing.
That's football. That's football, mate. No, you sound like a boomer. You sound like a boomer.
No, I don't. It's embarrassing. This game, it's a glorified fucking friendly is going to decide a Ballon d'Or. Fucking embarrassing. I also hate how Salah has no shouts anymore. That pisses me off. I don't understand why it's...
I mean, let's get into it.
Like, it's not a calendar year anymore. It's the whole season. And yeah. Salah had... one of the most momentous starts of the season we've ever seen. Had, like, what, 40 goal contributions in the league. Won the Premier League title for a team that was never even supposed to be in a title race. And all of a sudden, he's just out of it because they got out of the Champions League early. Barca just won only one thing, too. GA, which we said doesn't always tell
Barca
the story.
Won three things.
Yeah,
they won. Barca won three things. They won a domestic treble.
Okay, fair. Fair, my bad.
Okay.
But they went out of the Champions League as well.
Yeah.
And then... it just completely negates any chance that Salah has because of, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me. If Salah's not top three, I think it's...
I don't think he's going to be top three.
When at least top five. He's not at least top five. Like, I don't understand. This is, it's just ridiculous.
When you think of the Ballon d'Or, it's always the biggest competitions that happen in the year. And I'm sorry, but the biggest competition this year has been the Champions League, as we know. And the Premier League doesn't weigh as much as it as you maybe think it should.
But it should,
course,
though.
Of course, he's had an incredible season. Of course, he's had a generational season that we'll probably talk about for years to come, right? We weren't expecting this from Salah this late in his career.
Mm-mm.
Every year we think it's his last year, but then he somehow does better than the year before.
Yeah,
but
oh my God, do you guess his stats? Guess his final
like
stats.
50 plus GA, 55 GA.
Well,
like
just 47 in the Prem.
GA in the Prem.
47 GA, 29 goals and two away from breaking the assist record. Mm-hmm. And in a title winning season.
Of course.
So, and you're telling me he's not even going to make top five?
But this is, he may make top five.
And then, you're telling me that Nations League matters more than what he's done this entire season?
That's
fucking ridiculous.
This is the thing. Name me three decisive Salah performances against big teams this season.
You're getting me on the spot. You can ask me about Lamine Yamal. Besides the Champions League, I couldn't tell you either.
But that's exactly
he performed in every single El Clasico, both the legs against Inter, every single
fair.
Game.
If we went through Salah's thing, I'm sure he has the same thing. I'm sure we have similar
disappeared
things.
Against PSG going out in the Champions League early stages. Missing disappeared against Newcastle
again,
in the Carabao Cup
final. But narrative matters too. Liverpool had this
narrative
title won
matter.
For half the season.
That. Of course,
and that's
matters.
Not his fault.
Of course, that matters, and he was a big part of playing that. But what I'm saying is that this is the reason I bring it up. This is the reason I bring it up to you, Blake. I'm not just saying this because it's some dumb argument, and I'm trying to pick holes in his thing. The reason I'm actually saying this is because the Ballon d'Or has new criteria this year that they just clarified.
I know what you're gonna bring up, but go ahead, Fred. Bring it up.
I know, like it is about individual performances. It is about team performances and achievements. But this year, more than past years, they've clarified that it's about individual decisiveness. It's about moments. It's about how valuable were you to your team and what did those moments lead to in specific games and moments when the lights were brightest. You could think of many, many moments with Dembele, with Yamal, even with Rafinha, but Salah, his Ballon d'Or campaign, he seemed like the strong favorite before like February.
Yes, absolutely.
But the reason why the wheels came off is because his decisiveness in the biggest games wasn't up to par.
But I would disagree slightly and say that he just didn't have the opportunity besides the Champions League. So while he could have done more in the Champions League, absolutely.
But if besides the Champions League, as if it's like a Mickey Mouse trophy.
Can I, let me, I'm not saying it's a Mickey Mouse trophy. What?
But it's you're kind of like brushing it out.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying he didn't have as much opportunity to. You're talking about El Clasico. Sure, there was more than obviously the ones in the league. You said every El Clasico. Salah didn't have anything to do in the league besides just score when he did. And it's unfair to just say, I get it. The criteria is different now. But it's unfair to just look at it and say, ah, you know what? He didn't do it in the decisive moment, so he shouldn't. That's a problem with the narrative. That's a problem with how they're doing the Ballon d'Or then as well. Because you cannot look at this season from Salah. I fucking hate Liverpool. I'm defending Salah right now. This is how passionate I am about this. Is that you cannot look at this season and not say it's at least the third best season in all of football. You cannot look at me with a straight face and say that at least it's not. At least top five. You cannot.
I agree with you. I would put him.
I'd put him fourth.
Top four or three.
I'd put him fourth.
Like, come on. And sure, his team didn't do it. And we've had this opinion with Salah that he doesn't. But we've also had this opinion with Salah. You want to talk about decisive moments. He'll be terrible the entire game and then somehow come up with a stupid, ridiculous goal. That's a decisive moment that he's literally known for. That's his fucking player archetype.
Yes. But he does it against Brighton.
I'm looking right here. He has an assist against Manchester City. A goal and assist against City in February 23rd. That seems like a big game to me. I don't remember because, the gap was probably big, but that's a big game. It's the narrative, and that's what it is. Now, like you said, it's a narrative-based thing now. So sure, the narrative doesn't work for Salah, but I'm just saying we need to not just look at the narrative and look at the footballing ability and season that he's had. And it's frankly, it pisses me off that a player can have this season like Lewandowski did in 2021 and narratives take over and negate anything that he did.
Well, I mean, you're also talking about that like the other players in this debate did not put up the performances in the league.
Absolutely. But he's looking at me like I'm crazy for fighting for top three.
Top three. But for me, the biggest thing is the Champions League. I'm sorry. Every single year, the Ballon d'Or is decided based off of the top competition of that year. 2023, Messi won it because he won the World Cup. 2022, it was Benzema because he won the Champions League, right? It's every single, I can give so many examples of how much the biggest competition weighs on the champion, on the Ballon d'Or winner.
Facts.
2006, Cannavaro wins it. Even though he has a great club season, he ends up winning the World Cup. 2007, Kaká wins it. He doesn't have the best season in terms of GA, but he wins the Champions League. There's so many examples I can give. And the fact of the matter is, Salah got eliminated in the round of 16 and massively disappointed. Like, Liverpool massively disappointed. They were not supposed to get eliminated in the round of 16. They finished first in the league phase. No one would have ever predicted them to get eliminated if it wasn't against PSG. Some people had PSG winning, right? But no one, they shouldn't have gone out at that stage of the competition. And I'm sorry, but Dembele was probably the most important player in a team that won the Champions League and that won a treble. You cannot look past that.
I'm not even saying he deserves to win it, though. I never said that.
Fair.
What is happening to me right now is I'm saying top three, top five, and you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Four. He's top four. And
so okay, so fair. That's all I want.
That's what,
man.
I said before. I said you.
Fair. I just, I, you, from what I was saying, it just seemed like that was not even in the question.
For me, it's Salah, Rafinha, Lamine, Dembele.
Fair.
Fair. I would put Salah above probably Rafinha because Rafinha had a similar kind of fall off to Salah and near the end of the
but
season.
But again, he does it in the Champions League.
Fair.
That is a thing. Fair. Right? That is a thing. The exact moment that Salah's Ballon d'Or hopes was extinguished was when Dan Burn locked him up in the.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Yeah, that's fair.
That's not a Ballon d'Or winning moment. That's not decisive. That's the opposite. Shrunk in that game.
That's fair. Which, again, I don't think he should win it this year.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
He deserves more respect. I absolutely agree.
It's just like, this is a ridiculous season.
It is ridiculous. It is.
Who do you have winning it?
I honestly need to look into it. Like, I need to give it more thought. Like, I might be on Lamine's train. I'm not going to lie.
For me, bothers me with the Lamine Yamal shouts is that...
Until the last weeks of the season, it was all about Rafinha.
It coincidentally...
Yeah.
Arrives when Rafinha starts dipping in form. Most of the Barcelona fans were gunning for Rafinha to win the Ballon d'Or. It was the biggest narrative, the biggest talking point in football was that Rafinha was going to win a Ballon d'Or. He'd be the most unexpected player to win the Ballon d'Or ever. But as soon as he drops off, oh no, actually, it actually should be Lamine Yamal because,
I agree.
Like, yeah. It's just, it's a little, it bothers me a little bit because nobody was saying that in November and December. There's a stat, by the way, between November to April, I think Lamine Yamal, I'd have to double check the exact numbers, but in La Liga, he only scores 3 goals or something like that.
Yeah, his GA is not up there.
No.
His performances are, though. And like, we would talk about this all the time when we were doing the Yamal Saka debates. He will, you know, pull off an insane cross to Frankie de Jong in the back post, who then heads it across for a fair on goal.
Yes.
There will be so many moments like that where he's like the centerpiece of a goal, but doesn't get credited with a goal or assist.
Absolutely.
Like,
in my eyes, it really seems as though some people think that being 17 is the criteria. Like, the fact that he's so young.
Yes.
The youngest Ballon d'Or winner ever.
Yes.
I seriously think that weighs so much in people's minds, but it shouldn't.
It is the unspoken fourth criteria of the Ballon d'Or. PR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't want it to affect our judgment, but it just does. Narratives play a part in everything. The reason that Vinny didn't win it last year, besides some sus shenanigans, which I don't even want to get into, is because motherfuckers voting from Honduras was all about like, oh, I don't like his attitude. Yeah. I'm going to vote for Rodri.
Yeah. What
are we doing?
No, you're totally right. And I'll be honest too, though. Like, I think there's something really wrong with the Ballon d'Or if Lamine Yamal wins it this year. I'm going to be honest. Like, I just don't think it's...
I don't think it would be a scandal, but
I think I have to agree
with part of what you're saying.
Like, come on.
Because I think they're just as close.
You don't win player of the tournament in the Champions League. You don't even win young player of the tournament.
And the Euros don't matter.
Really?
Dewey won the young player of the tournament.
I have a question.
Is that just because he was there on the day?
Again, that matters.
Wait, I have a question.
The biggest games matter.
I have a question. The Euros aren't involved in this Ballon d'Or, right? That's last season.
No, that's last season.
That's why Rodri won it.
Yeah, okay. So, exactly. Like, I don't see how you can give it to him. You're right. It wouldn't be a scandal, but I really do not see how you can look at the entire season as a whole and not give it to Dembele.
Like, this guy's a generational player. He's
of course.
He's going to win many.
Of course.
Many
they're just as close.
If he stays on the trajectory that he is.
They're just as close as Rodri and Vinny were. Probably closer.
I think they're still.
I think Dembele has a
clear.
So you have Dembele. Who do you have?
Yeah. Well, Dembele is a clear favorite. I think it's 70-30 now in terms of the book.
I think it's Dembele. So it's hard for me to like.
And like he did everything.
I'm trying to like say the words correctly, but I just can't. It's so weird for me because I'm so used to like. You know, like the Messis and Ronaldos.
Of course.
And the idea that it's like Dembele. Like, don't get me wrong. He's a sensational player and he had a great season. But it's just like Dembele and Rafinha. Like, it's so weird. It's just been such a weird season for football, I think, in general, for like big players. Like, don't get me wrong. There have been some really good players. But I think everyone has had down points in the season.
100%.
So it's weird. But it was the same thing with, like, I feel like with Messi with winning the World Cup. It's like, obviously, he was a great player.
Yeah.
He wasn't the best that season, but because he won the World Cup.
No, he was the best in the World Cup that season.
Exactly. Yeah, but he didn't have the best, like, season. I can't remember.
Holland.
Yeah,
Holland. PR, man.
And, yeah, you want to talk about PR. The PSG players and fans have really started pushing this out now. You had the PSG fans singing Ousmane Ballon d'Or after their win in the Champions League. Then you see Marquinhos on the parade bus in Paris singing Ousmane Ballon d'Or.
It is
and
also...
on top of that, DJ Snake is... He was on the mic.
That's a good shout.
He was on
massive
the mic,
PSG fan.
He was on the mic in the Parc des Princes singing that too. So
hey, you want to talk about...
And Dembele was presenting the trophy at Roland Garros too, so...
Yeah, you want to talk about
pictures now.
You want to talk about PR? Talk to me about the official Ballon d'Or Twitter account doing a feature on Lamine Yamal's upbringing.
Are you serious?
I saw that a couple weeks ago.
That's crazy.
And I was like, damn, bro, they're starting it. They're starting the PR.
Well, if we're judging this off past Ballon d'Ors, we can get journalists from Kazakhstan looking at FIFA cards, and then we can really see who's going to win the Ballon d'Or. Because I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you saw this, like a few years ago, They voted for Mbappe because he had more pace than Messi or something. I swear to God, I think I remember that. There is shit like that.
That's ridiculous. Like ridiculous.
So,
yeah.
You know, hopefully we can get this thing locked up. When is the Ballon d'Or? October?
It's given out October,
or
but judged
late
on the
September
season.
This year.
Also, it will be judged on Club World Cup too.
Yeah.
So if PSG do well there, could do well.
I guess.
Conversely, if PSG and Dembele shit the bed, that might hurt his chances.
Maybe.
You know?
That's dumb.
I think it will.
But not every team.
Because I played a couple World Cups.
That's so basically dumb. That's really dumb.
I've been thinking about this.
Really stupid.
No, but I've been thinking about this, lads. No, Club World Cup is going to matter.
It is.
Club World Cup is going to matter.
Once, really once stupid.
As a competition, it's going to matter.
Yeah, it's going to matter.
It's going to matter.
Again,
it's going to matter in Ballon d'Or, and it's going to matter in the wider football conversation over the next couple of years. Did you see the badge is... The badge, the winner of the Club World Cup is going to, they're going to have a winner's badge for the next 4 years.
Also, dare I say, if Palmeiras and Estevao go on to semifinals, maybe in a fantasy, in a crazy story, Estevao is named in the top 30.
Oh, top 30, yeah.
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 That's how much I think
it'll matter. Yeah, sorry.
That's how much I think it'll matter.
100%.
But that's dumb. Could make a little golden boy run.
Maybe if it matters that much, no. Stop. I think it's
sealed. No, it's actually like
stop.
It's frustrating because it didn't matter until they made it matter, and now it's just gonna matter because they invited everyone and they made it this big thing. You know what I mean? FIFA, the Club World Cup never mattered. City, I remember City having that badge when they won it that one time.
Yep.
Like it's been a thing to have the badge on the.
Yeah.
It's been a thing.
It's a different.
But now it's different. It's revamped. Everyone's in. There's more money. There's a bigger prize pool. Whatever.
Yeah.
And now it matters. And now it's gonna have Ballon d'Or ramifications.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, that's kind of how Ballon d'Or started. It was just a group of journalists voting for the best player.
Sure.
And now it's this big thing.
But again, this competition isn't even the best of the best. It's just. An invitation.
Well, it is
the best of the best.
It is the best of the best.
Tell me what the fuck are you guys talking about? Barca's not in it. Arsenal's not in it. It's not the best of the best.
Chelsea's in it. I mean,
it's not the best of the best. Don't look at me.
Because it's the winners of the Champions League of the last 4 years.
Exactly.
That's not the best of the best, though.
You're right. But you have to have a little bit of like, oh,
guys,
they won. They won the Champions League. Like they earned their place by winning the Champions
League. Is it best on best? Is it best on best when Inter Miami is in it? I guess that's the point
of the region. It's the best of the region.
No, they're not.
Well, last year they were, no?
Well, they set the best record in MLS.
But they're not, exactly.
No, I agree with you. The reason that they got
it. But you're fighting with me. You don't agree with me.
It's because of PR. It's because Gianni Infantino wanted Miami and Messi there.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like, you want to talk about a Mickey Mouse competition. This is more of a Mickey Mouse competition than the fucking Nations League. As of now, again, we're going to watch. I'm getting very heated, but I'm excited to watch this. I came into this to the Club World Cup. You guys both know I wasn't super hyped on it. Now I have time to ingest it. I miss football. I miss meaningful football that isn't fucking Nations League. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to ingest it. I'm excited to see how it goes. But for it to be important enough to decide a Ballon d'Or, that's ridiculous when it's not even the teams who are the best players are not even playing in the fucking tournament.
The importance of the competition is only set by how important the players are. And the fans take it.
Sure.
A couple of months ago, the Four Nations face-off was, in essence, a money grab All-Star Weekend replacement where it's an invitational for four countries, right? But the players took it super seriously.
But that was best on best.
There were some underlying politics
there. But
that
was best on best, Julian. That was literally best on best.
I don't know hockey that much.
That was best on best besides the Russians.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no. But that doesn't
matter. I know. Hockey is like way different.
Like the narrative literally was, this is the first time we've had best on best since 2016.
I know. But what I'm saying is that the reason it was made was not any like Olympic competition. Like this has never happened before.
For sure.
The reason the Four Nations face-off was made was because of waning All-Star ratings and because they wanted to make something that would bring fans in. And it was only seen as important, not because there was hype for it months out. Maybe there was a little bit, but not crazy hype. The reason it ended up being a success was because the players took it seriously, fighting however many times in the first couple minutes, and the fans took it seriously.
Sure.
That's the reason why it worked out so well.
Okay.
So if similar things can happen here at the Club World Cup, if the players take it seriously, which I think they will, then I think fans will take it seriously. And before you know it, this is the biggest competition of the year.
I agree.
Of the year? What?
I'm speaking hyperbolics, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I don't actually think it will be regarded as like a bigger win than in the Champions League. Yes. No. But like this will have Ballon d'Or ramifications, I guarantee you, even if Barca are not in it.
Fair enough. We should move on, though.
Some transfer talks?
Yes.
What? Do you have something else to say?
what happens if Spain and what happens if France win this game is what I wanted to ask.
Jeez, guys. Like,
what do you mean? What happens?
Okay,
fine. I know. We'll
No, because I can just picture the YouTube clip right now. The title of the video is like this video or like this game decides Ballon d'Or or whatever the fuck. And like people are watching it and now knowing how the game went.
Right.
So where are the two worlds, however like this game goes? Does if Spain wins, is that Ballon d'Or wrapped up for Lamine if he has a good performance?
It's not wrapped up. It'll obviously play a part, especially if Spain go on to actually win the tournament, right? But again, you have Club World Cup on the back of that where Barcelona and Lamine Yamal are not playing in.
Yes.
So as much as I don't want it to count, and I think it's stupid that it should count towards a Ballon d'Or, it probably will because Lamine Yamal said it will, and because now everyone's watching and everyone's going to see that Lamine Yamal is probably going to have a crazy performance and Dembele is probably going to not have a great performance as much. So it's definitely going to push the narrative a little more. I think it will.
Okay.
And I think we're all also cooked. I'm seeing like a 3-0 game. Yeah. Like I'm scared.
Let's get some transfer talk now, shall we?
Let's do it.
What?
Yeah.
You get it.
Blake has awoken.
Yeah.
What?
No, you've been talking.
I've literally been talking, bro.
You know what he means.
Blake narrative,
you know
bro.
You know what I mean, bro. You know what I mean.
More excited.
You know what I mean.
I'm ready to fight, bro. I'm like an attack dog. On my hind horse, ready to snap.
Yeah.
Gotta defend myself. Miles is supposed to defend me, bro. You should have been there on the day that Arsenal got beat by Champions League. That was a form of abuse. A form of
PSG?
By Champions League.
Yeah. Sorry, when they got knocked out of Champions League, that was a form of abuse.
The aura of the Champions League knocked you out.
And then, Julian, bro, just tried.
It was both of us, mate. It was both of us.
Yeah, but he has a point. You have nothing.
What do you mean? He has a point.
His team beat me.
Ah, I see. Yeah. I see. Okay. Speaking of Arsenal, how are we feeling about your striker targets?
Terrified. Awful. I want Yuck, we know this. And we're probably not even going to get him. And I said this earlier on the pod. If we sign Yuck for $60 million, Yuckeres for $60 million, and he turns out to be a Nicolas Pepe-esque kind of signing, I'm not going to fault Arteta, Berta, the board. No, I'm not going to fault them because from what we know, from what we've seen, that is a player who you would think to get you over the hump. And if that doesn't happen, oh well, we tried. I cannot look at that and be sad that it didn't happen for us. I can look at it and be sad, of course, but I can't be disappointed that we went for him because that's what he was supposed to do and he didn't do it. And all the signs are pointing towards him doing that.
But conversely, Cesco.
If we get Cesco, I won't be disappointed either. It's just like a Havertz, but bigger.
A Havertz. I think he's...
Why are you comparing him to Havertz?
Because that's the profile of the player.
No,
tall,
it's not.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Can I...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Profile of the player as in stature and what he brings. Obviously, he's a lot better than Havertz. He's more of a complete striker than Havertz. Havertz isn't an actual striker, so that's obviously the point, but... He's definitely more of what the system that we play would fit. That's why they want to go for him. He also fits the timeline, which is something that I've been seeing that's ridiculous. What timeline? Our timeline is win now. And I've seen reports that like we're leaning towards Cesco because he's younger and he fits the project. What fucking project? We're trying to win a fucking Champions League. We're talking about a striker who's 21 versus 27, but one who's clearly better than the other right now, albeit in Portugal, good league. And we're talking about project. We're talking about a young striker that's what we're going for because it fits the timeline. I don't know. And you can be scared that this Gyökeres signing will not fit what Arsenal have done. He's explosive, good on the counter, obviously not as good in the air like we talked about earlier on the pod. Cesco, bigger, stronger, definitely more of a, I guess you would say a target man, can still run in behind, has a lot of aerial threat, but again, hasn't given the numbers this season that you would have wanted for a striker.
What are those numbers? Can you see their miles? 13 goals in the Bundesliga?
Yeah,
5 assists, 33 goals played. I think, though, a player like that, yes, you're looking for an X-factor player like him. I'm going to say use the same excuse I always use with players is, like, think of what happens when he comes to Arsenal, gets slotted in with the likes of Rice, Saka, you know, Odegaard, like... You know, I'm being positive about it, obviously, but I also think, to your point about like win now, I think what the Arsenal board is trying to do is trying to find that fine line of they want to win now, which is, I get it if you want Gyökeres, but
it's also you want this sustainability of consistently winning trophies. I don't like it would, you know, if we won a trophy next season and then we won nothing else the year after that because Gyökeres is by then 29, 30 and just shit. Hopefully if we got him, it would not make sense rather than getting a 22-year-old who the year after we win a trophy, the guy's 23, 24. When you still have Saka in his early to mid-20s, you have the likes of Dalman coming up, Wanyeri, Lewis Skelly's 20. Like, it's the way I see it. But, I mean, at the same time, we're fans, right? We have no decision in it, and we obviously we want one player, another fan wants another player.
I think
it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
I think the fact that you've been competing for trophies for 3 years now, almost faster than you thought you would be in this place. It's 100%
faster.
It's given you the impression that you are win now when you actually take a step back and you're like, actually, look at the ages of our players. We actually have like a little bit more. We're not in the same situation of like an Inter Milan or something like an aging team where like it's like absolutely like you either win now or it's like you're going to miss out on the chance with this crop of players.
You yelled at Arteta for not winning a trophy this season, and you said that he needs to go, and Blake, you're disappointed
Blake,
in him.
I'm
and
not
you're saying we're not
saying
a win now?
Blake, I'm not saying that your expectation shouldn't be win trophies. It's absolutely trophy or bust next season. Do not get me wrong. I'm saying that if next season doesn't work or the season after that doesn't work, you're not on a ticking time bomb because your players are aging.
Yeah, but we're not signing a 40-year-old. We're signing someone who's 27 in his prime who has like 5 years left of amazing football, you would think.
Also, this question has to be asked, and I'm just here to ask the question. I don't think this, but is Gyökeres really as good as people make him out to be?
This is my thing. There's a problem with Victor Gyökeres. And we've been hyping him up all season. There's been crazy PR behind him. And do not get me wrong, with the performances that he's putting up for Sporting, he looks like one of the best strikers in Europe. But there has to be something going on. Arsenal would rather pay a 30 million premium for a striker that's scoring less goals. Granted, in a better league, but they'd rather spend more for someone a little more raw. Chelsea have chosen Liam Delap. Barcelona say that they're not in to replace Lewandowski this season. United seem like the only team all of a sudden that's interested in Victor Gyökeres, and that doesn't really fill me with excitement. Maybe I'm just a pessimist, but it makes me a little bit scared. Why are the best clubs passing on what is looked at as the best prospect? I'm telling you, these clubs, you almost forget sometimes that these are professionals that have decades of experience in the field with scouting, and maybe they talk to the player and his agent and his family. They know something that we don't with Victor Gyökeres. That is clear as day to me. I don't know if it's his attitude. I don't know if it's thinking that his style won't translate to English football. I don't know if it's his agent asking for too much. Maybe it's like an insane signing on fee he's asking for. There's got to be something. Yeah. Something that is putting clubs off of Victor Gyökeres.
Well, you know what? Maybe it is a mindset thing. Because if he does go to Manchester United, I'm glad he went. I would have never wanted him in the first place. If he goes to United, that shows me all I need to know about him as a player. He does not have the mindset. He does not want to go to a winning team. He goes to United, he's essentially just nerfing his entire career. He's 27. He needs to want to talk about win now. He needs to win now. He needs to prove himself now in a big league. You're going to United with no Champions League football, 15th place. It's the easy way out. You go to the big club and you just say,
That's harder. No. If he comes to you, because it's a harder situation.
No, it's easier for him. It's easier for him. He can do whatever he wants. He can flop. Oh, well, if he flops at Arsenal, things are terrible. If he flops at Chelsea, they're in a UCL. Things are terrible.
I think it's terrible if he flops anywhere.
No, but if he goes to United, there's no pressure on him.
There's a lot of pressure, dude.
There's less pressure on him going to United than him going to Arsenal. He needs to go in and be right now. If he goes to United, he can take the Hoyland Ruby shit for like a couple months and then maybe turn it on.
That's different.
You can't look at me and say that's not.
No. If he comes into United and flops, it's not a situation like Hoyland. It's a situation like Lukaku. It's a situation
absolutely
like Ronaldo. It's a situation where like you're buying the goals now.
Yeah, but
you're not buying the potential. You're buying the goals now. And if he flops, he flops. That's at any team. It's a different kind of pressure if he comes to United, because you want to be the front-facing man of, like, this is the rebuild. He's going to take us to the top level. If it doesn't happen, that's fine. But the pressure's on him for that reason. If he goes to Arsenal, the pressure's on him for a different reason.
Yeah, but if he goes to United, his mentality is shit. His mentality is not the player that I want at Arsenal.
It's not because
no. If he goes to anyone that isn't in a UCL, then I think that that's why teams are passing up on him, is for that reason right there. Because
I
think you're not jumping the gun. Why is this player who's 27 not wanting to compete after scoring, 60 goals this season? Why is he not wanting to go to the best teams in Europe and fight for the Champions League, the biggest club competition in the world?
Yeah.
Why is he going to United where they have nothing going for them right now? Why? What does that show you? What does that show you as a player? Matheus Cunha this is a step up for him, absolutely, because he has no right to think that he should be going to Arsenal or Chelsea or Barca or PSG, because he was at Wolves his whole career and he has not a season to merit that. He could.
He was at Atletico too.
But I'm not saying he doesn't need to go to a thing to, like, prove himself to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. Same with Brian Mbeumo, if he does go to United, which I think is pretty much done. Same thing there.
Yep.
Gyökeres, if he goes to Manchester United, what is that doing for your career besides just putting yourself in limbo in a team that doesn't even have a direction? It's just a terrible mentality red flag for me if that's what he chooses to do.
The fact of the matter is people are going to want to come to United because they're United. And it doesn't matter if they're shit right now, the prospect of United becoming a really good team is always going to be there. It is different from going to a Barcelona and it's like, let's win trophies right now. For Victor Gyökeres, going to United would be, let's fucking win trophies. I'm coming here to win trophies. Do not get me wrong, but I couldn't accept if we're going to have to live that process a little bit. It's the same reason why, a Van Dijk or a Salah or any of those players went to Liverpool before they had won any trophies.
No, but those are not the same level as what we're talking about right now. From when they came, absolutely not.
I think
Virgil
from
Celtic and
the biggest clubs
coming from
the biggest clubs, the biggest clubs in the world were in for Virgil van Dijk. That's why he was the most expensive center back in the history of football. And he went to Liverpool, to at that point under Klopp, was trophyless. Now I understand they were farther along their rebuild than United
totally
was.
Were.
Do not
they
get
were
me
15th,
wrong.
Julian. 14th.
United is also better than their league position suggests. We've been over this. But what I'm saying is that Victor Gyökeres is not resigning the chance to win trophies if he comes to United. He's not doing that.
But he's showing an inhibition to win right now, which shows me that he is not as strong mentally as I thought he was.
Projects can be sold to players.
He's 27.
That's why Lenny Yoro.
He's 27, Julian. He's not a young. He's 27.
Yes.
I think you need to concede here. I'm not letting you not concede.
He has 5 years to. If I was Victor Gyökeres, do not get me wrong, I would choose Arsenal. If I was him and my United,
not
love
just Arsenal,
was,
any other
was taken
team
out.
Mm-hmm. That is in a good spot. Like what do you? Sorry, you can continue, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts too. You can continue though, like what your thought.
It's also the fact that it's Amorim.
Sure, fair.
That
definitely plays a part.
That's the thing.
Like, obviously, I think if I'm Victor Gyökeres, also I'm going to Arsenal because there's no better chance to elevate your career in terms of making a name for yourself, being that guy that finally wins Arsenal a Champions League. Because we've been saying for all these years, Arsenal need a striker, and you have the chance to be that guy that finally gets them over the hump if they end up actually doing it, right?
Yes.
So, for me, it's a clear decision. But you can, as Julian said, you can be sold a project, and that's why Lenny Yoro joined Man United over Real Madrid.
Who
are the biggest club of all time.
Yeah, right? That's fair.
Man United clearly still have a little bit of pull.
Yeah.
It's also the fact that, like, we don't know what Victor Gyökeres would have chosen if Arsenal were even on the table. This is not a fact that, like, everybody was in for Victor Gyökeres and he's choosing United. You know, maybe it's kind of like, oh, you either go to United or you stay at Sporting or you wait for
a big team
club. You know, like, that's the thing, right?
Yeah. My thing is just the mentality. That's the last thing I'll say. That's what it shows me mentally about his player. But again, you can disagree, but that's what I would think.
Let's move on, lads. We're going to talk about Victor Gyökeres so much this summer.
Yeah.
We'll get onto it. couple of other things United are doing in the window, but we can save that for another.
What time are we at? Because if we could also do end of season awards,
let's pick it up a little bit.
Do we still have time? Are we good?
I'm not good,
but let's move.
Yeah, we're an hour and 10.
Let's do it Monday then.
An hour and 5.
Save it for Monday. Because you introed it. So we can
do... Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
First, quick Tijani Reinders to City.
And Ain't Nori.
And probably Cherki.
And probably Cherki, yeah.
Fuck that team.
Oh my
God. Bro, are we gonna have time for this, guys?
No, we are.
Excited to watch Man City next year. And as anti-football as that sounds, as game has gone, that might sound, I really, really am excited to watch City. Because I think they're gonna have a new
face. They're gonna fucking win it again.
They're gonna have a new face this season. You have Cherki, Tijani Reinders in the midfield, Rodri's gonna be back. I mean, sure it's Pepe eyeball, but you wanna talk about excitement.
If he kills Ryan Cherki,
I don't think he will. I think a lot of people are saying he will, but I think he's gonna give him that creative that freedom and
what position does he play?
Well, I think he's gonna operate in the role Kevin De Bruyne was operating. And do we say?
Well, you think?
I think
he's gonna play on the wing. I thought he was gonna be on the wing.
No, I mean you have Savinho on the wing. For me, Ryan Cherki is at his best level when he gets to create chance for other players. For me, this season at Lyon, he was mostly an attacking midfielder, kind of coming off the right, yes, but mostly an attacking midfielder. And this season, he proved that. He is such a facilitator, and he is so good at distributing the ball. And his assists this season, his assist catalog, first of all, is insane this season. Mm. But he's just, I think he can operate at that position that Kevin De Bruyne was operating at. And did we say that Pep Guardiola could ruin Kevin De Bruyne after he joined from Wolfsburg? Not at all. So I don't see why Ryan Cherki would be ruined just because he's joining Man City.
Different
and
player, Pep
plays that AI ball. Yes, but it's kind of those street, he's kind of like a street player where he's always going to have that side of the game to him where he's just...
Fair.
Has that creativity and can just do whatever he wants, right? Yeah. So
I'm really
excited.
Even if he doesn't blossom next year, you know how players work at City. It's like the year after that he'll be
like a Jack Grealish at City. I don't think he'll be like that.
No.
Yeah, he has more stuff to him.
Yes, he's such his package is just
30 million.
His story is kind of funny too, because like he was a really highly touted youngster and then kind of
dribbled
out and then like resurged himself, which I think is fantastic.
Lyon fans stopped, like
they gave up on him
off the train after last season. They thought it was because he was this guy that had so much potential,
but around for a while, fulfilled
it because of either laziness or selfishness. Mostly selfishness. That was the big thing. He was selfish a lot of times. This is a guy who burst onto the scene at like 14 years old. He was.
I feel like he's been around a long time.
Newspaper was talking about this guy at a very young age, and you could see that on the pitch that was affecting his mental health. Like that was mentally affecting him in the way that he thought he was a superstar right away. But this season, he kind of took a step back, was a little bit more humble, and look what that produced.
Yeah.
If he does that in England, we can seriously have a great, great player on our hands.
100%. All right, let's move on to a little quick segment. Let's move on to some postseason awards. And this is Europe-wide, okay? So we're expanding the ball knowledge here, boys.
Mm.
All right, we got best
How
player.
How many Prem players are Miles and Blake going to have?
Okay.
I'm going to go out here and say that everything I have is Prem related.
That's fine.
But
I'm joking.
No, that's how many PSG things you're going to have?
Quite a bit. Anyways.
Man, that hurt me, bro. hurt me, bro.
Let's go. All right.
That's crazy.
We got best player, best manager.
I didn't even watch the UCL. That's crazy.
Maybe that's a little crazy. Anyways.
We got best player, best manager, most improved player, most improved team, flop player, flop team, biggest fairy tale, best moment, and best goal. We're gonna go in our L shape here. Antoine, how about you get us started with your best player?
Well, my best player I've mentioned earlier, it's Ousmane Dembélé.
I feel like we kind of had the Ballon d'Or debate earlier.
This is what I mean.
So this is kind of just interchangeable. So
yeah.
Do you have the same thing, I assume, Blake?
I'll just put Salah for difference, but yeah.
I heard Salah for difference.
I thought it was me a K and A after. I got scared. That's actually...
You know what, lads? Miles Lewis Skelly.
you know that's
pretty I have Yamal. Who do you have?
I have Salah.
Valid.
You have Yamal?
I have Yamal.
You can see he's been probably the most entertaining player.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. That's why
best
we love
story.
Him in a minute.
Best story in football.
Yeah.
Best manager?
For me, it's Luis Enrique. And I've mentioned this before. He's just completely transformed this PSG team. Whether it's from leaving Dembele out of the squad against Arsenal in the group stage phase or starting Safonov over Donnarumma against Bayern again in the group stage phase. there's so many things that go beyond football, and from just looking at it from a mental aspect, that it's incredible. And this man has completely speed ran the process and the rebuild that PSG were supposed to be on, and he's won us a damn Champions League. He's probably the most influential person in PSG's history, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Valid. I have the same one for all the reasons you
just
said.
Yeah, I
don't think there's anywhere else you can go besides Luis Enrique.
Yeah, I had him too. I mean, we can give Slot love, I guess.
Slot, Nuno Espirito Santo.
Oh, true. I wrote down Nuno.
Inzaghi you could love as well, but the wheels have fallen off that train a little bit over the last couple of weeks, especially him going to Saudi. Mm-hmm. I got a sour taste in my mouth about Simone Inzaghi right now. But yeah, Slot is definitely up there as well.
100%. You have Nuno?
I have Nuno.
Nice.
I mean, it's also just like, it's not like to say that he was the best manager, but I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for my predictions from last season, like Forest were not slated to have as good as
a couple men had them relegated.
Yeah. Exactly.
Minus 17th, I think.
Something. Yeah, exactly. Like and my the fact is, that yeah. Nottingham Forest are playing European football next season is crazy.
It's unreal.
And I mean, at one point this season, they were like 2 points behind Arsenal or something. Like,
they almost
ridiculous.
Got CL.
Yeah. So
100%. Big up to Flowers Nuno. Like that, like pound for pound, obviously, Nuno can't win the fucking Champions League. But in terms of pound for pound job you did with the pieces you were given,
it's up there for sure.
He's up there 100%. Yeah, other managers like that,
Liam Rossignol, Strasbourg,
will still no, I'm kidding.
Sunderland legend, bro.
Yeah, bro. You'll be more knowledgeable about that. Cesc Fabregas, maybe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd he's say. Up there.
Yeah, that's probably cool. One of the most entertaining teams in Serie A. I claim that team now. So that's my Serie A team.
Not going to Inter, apparently. Shout out to
Cesc. And that's huge. And that's huge for the boys.
Who does go to Inter then?
That's Christian Chivu now.
Who?
You don't know Christian Chivu?
I don't know who that is.
Who did he manage before?
He's managing Parma right now, but he was a part of the Champions League or treble winning Inter side in 2010. Really? Left back. You're the helmet guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, as a player. I thought you meant like as an assistant coach. I was like, pardon me for not knowing.
As a player.
Yes.
I don't know. So, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Put the helmet in style before Czech kind of claimed it. Yep. Anyways. Any other mentions? I don't think so. So, let's move on to most improved player.
I have.
We're going to have the same person.
I have Scott McTominay.
Oh, I actually did have him too. It's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, from going to Manchester United, where he wasn't really the best player there. To Blake, maybe. Because underrated, as always. But to go from that to Serie A MVP, that's massive.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. No one would have ever thought that.
100%.
And I think he deserves a spot there.
I had him on my list, too. But I had another Serie A player.
Really?
Rutegi.
Okay.
25
goals. I thought you were going to have the guy back.
No, 25 goals. Improved from what? The youth academy?
Yeah.
You think I have dead ball knowledge? Like, fuck you.
What?
Improved player from what though? From the youth academy.
You know what? If we want to do like rookie of the year,
yeah, he's
MLS is there.
No, Rutegi had 7 goals last year in this Serie A, and then he had like 25 this year.
Top goal scorer.
Yeah,
30 in all competitions. He's been killing it. I don't watch him, but like 100%. He's definitely been a lot better than he was last year.
100%.
Yeah. My most improved player was someone I thought that we would kind of all agree on is Rafinha.
I definitely forgot about him.
Yeah.
Definitely forgot about the third place Ballon d'Or.
I think we're kind of numb to the fact that he's gone from almost forced out of Barcelona to a Ballon d'Or contender.
Cool. Yeah.
Shout out Rafinha. His rise this season, incredible.
He had an interview before the season, or mid-season after he
started.
That he would have gone to Saudi had they given an offer. Yes. So, yeah, absolutely.
A quick reminder to any depressed United fans watching, if you're feeling better, let me bring down your mood real quick. In 2022, we had a short list of 2 players for the right wing. One was Antony, the other was Rafinha, and the rest is history. Rafinha would have been cheaper, by the way, but go on, Miles.
I had to mention him. You guys already mentioned him for best player. I went Ousmane Dembélé.
Really?
He was good last year, but I still have very clear memories of like you talking about like when he first joined, you're like, oh, like he's kind of shit, but like, you know, we're still holding out for him and we think that he's
shit. I don't think I call him shit. But no, I totally agree. Like, and the main thing is his finishing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I never
He was inconsistent
would
last
like, it was
year.
Super inconsistent. Yeah. It was just shooting and hoping it would go in.
Yeah.
But this season he's really like learned, or I guess learned.
Yeah.
But he has that finishing aspect to him now, and that's why he's been so damn good.
Yeah.
And that's not even mentioning the work off the ball he does, which is incredible. I really like that shout, Miles.
Thank you. No, fair enough. Okay, let's go move some improved team.
I put Strasbourg down. It was very homer of me. But they finished 13th last season and had a complete rebuild this season and already finished 7th under a coach that I really like. Remember Leroy Rossignol that you were talking about as the manager that with the shortest
stint in managerial stint in history? Managerial 10 history. Minutes, by the way.
Well, that's his son, Liam Rossignol. What a clip. Yeah. That's his son, Liam Rossignol.
That's cool.
And there's so many pieces in that team. Like Andre Santos will be playing for Chelsea next season. Emega, who is their striker, who will probably get a move to a bigger club this season. Even their left back, Moreira, has been really good. And yes. I think he's also with
Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, it's Blueco, right? It's the same kind of ownership. Yes.
So
there's many players there that will want to have big seasons. And I think Strasbourg has to be mentioned in there.
Yeah. Fair enough. What about you, Blake?
I have Poole. I don't know. For a team that... No. Not really disappointed last year, but I mean, was not even close to a title race.
Yeah.
And then their manager leaves, Slot comes in, transforms their team. They're clearly the best team in England for the entire season. It's impressive stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You guys kind of mentioned this one before. I have Napoli, 10th place in Serie A last year. Conte has come in, completely revitalized that team, turned average Joes into the best team in Serie A, and they deserve absolute credit for that. From 10th to 1st, fucking beautiful.
He could have gone into best manager too.
He could have absolutely gone to best
manager. That's 100%. A good point, actually. Yeah.
In terms of pound for pound, doing what you're doing with the pieces that you're given, 100%.
That's a good point.
Credit to Antonio Conte. What about you?
Fair. I forgot to put one in, so I'm going to go with a nice... I swear, I'm sorry. The way
Get on my train.
No. I'm going to go with Sunderland.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, two years ago, they had a decent season. Last year, they finished 16th. This season, they're next...
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
The season. Fair. It's a little ridiculous because they finished on, I'm pretty sure, like 76 points or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the team that finished above them finished on 90. And they lost all of their last five matches. But hey, they're playing Prem football next season. And it's prime Barclays is back with them in the league.
Also, I said Will still Sunderland. I meant Southampton legend because he's coaching Southampton now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Been so out the loop, man. Yeah. I thought he was going to like...
No, he's coaching Southampton.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Speaking, I know you're low-key into them more, but you'll be remiss not to say Wrexham, back-to-back-to-back promotions. That's some improvement.
Okay. Bad for... I'm not a Wrexham fan whatsoever.
Fan. Yeah, but you're a fan of like a... Oh, like of lower general league. General lower league, like good fairy tales.
Good for them if you're a Wrexham fan, but no. I'm sorry, it's bad for footy.
Flop player, lads.
Flop player for me. Is Martin Odegaard.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ooh.
That's fair.
Ooh.
He was not good at all this season.
There's like first 2 months he's okay.
Yeah.
But after that.
No, wasn't he hurt the first 2 months?
He hurt his, he was out for a month.
I guess after he comes back from his injury. Yeah. That might affect how he plays.
After the first international break. But
if you look at Odegaard and you seriously could have thought this season that he could have been the main guy for Arsenal. Obviously, you have Bukayo Saka, but if you want to talk about a guy that can be a facilitator for all his teammates and really be the centerpiece for Arsenal, that was Martin Odegaard at the beginning of the season.
Mm.
And based off of the trajectory that he was on before the season had even started, the last two seasons, he was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So the fall off definitely has to be studied because it's a big one. It's a really big one.
I think it's a fair... I think it's an important conversation to have, even though I'm kind of going against my point with my player, but there is a difference between flop and worst player. Like, he wasn't great this season, but he also... But we had such high expectations for him, and definition of a flop, he underperformed massively for the expectations.
Yeah, when the lights were rightest, he disappeared.
Frustrating. Mine is Onana for a couple reasons. One, because he flops all the time because he sucks at being a goalkeeper. But secondly, for the third season in a row now, he just fucking sucks.
Mm.
Plain and simple. He was supposed to be this Inter Milan keeper, this Ajax keeper who you... been in the Champions League final, took Ajax to the Champions League semifinal. He fucking sucks. He's terrible.
Okay. Fair enough. For me, flop player... I just knew that was gonna happen. I went Vinny.
Wow, that's pretty good. I don't know.
That tweet,
I completely forgot so many La Liga players.
That tweet is gonna haunt that man forever.
Yeah.
What did he say again? I will give 10 times. I will give 10 times.
Yeah, this
moment. And then especially from that moment of quote unquote robbery in the Ballon d'Or, I actually think he did deserve it. But after that, especially.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And Real Madrid as a whole this season, a little bit disappointing. There is a standout flop team, so they can't get the mention there. But in terms of flop player, I think Vinny in particular, yikes. What about you?
I went with Rasmus Højlund.
Fair.
Valid as well.
I do. I want
to. Blake loves that show.
I do want to give like a special shout out for Flop to Ilkay Gundogan, though.
Yeah, oh. True. Also.
Okay.
From what he was showing last season in Barcelona. Yeah,
what we expected him when he was at City, he was amazing.
Even for Barcelona last season, that's he was probably the most important player, too.
I think that's more the La Masia boys just coming through and just being better than him. And right. Him getting old, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
You mean,
no, he's in City now. He was at City.
He was sorry. Yeah, oh, my God, yes.
I knew what you were trying to say,
okay,
though.
You know what, then?
Sure. Yeah. I kind of knew what you were trying
to say. Rico Lewis is a world beater, lads.
What's next?
Flop team. Should we all say at the same time?
I went different because I knew what you guys were going to do.
Okay.
Go on.
Go ahead.
I went AC Milan and Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. I appreciate you for that, my friend.
Because I knew that you guys were going to Tottenham and United.
I also put Inter.
AC.
No, I put Inter.
Oh, you put Inter?
Yeah.
Okay.
You sold me. Your talk sold me.
What was the talk?
They were a win away from three titles and got zero. Or your talk, rather.
Yeah. Let's agree here, Blake. Let's agree.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, when I'm wrong, a lot. You, on the other hand, well, I don't know if you've ever done that. But
what, you'll admit when you're
wrong? Yeah, I'll admit when
you
I'm
do,
wrong.
Yeah, you do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to shoot you out. We're agreeing. I love you.
I put mainly AC Milan. Even though they won a trophy this season, they lost so many games that they shouldn't have lost. And it's also the way in which they lost it. This season, I've never really been inspired while watching AC Milan.
Yeah.
And they had really good players. Like, Tijani Reinders, of course, I'm always inspired when watching him. But Rafael Leao specifically, like, I think he's a very overrated player. And I've said this before, where in big games, he just really isn't that guy, opinion. So, this season, I really just haven't been inspired while watching AC Milan. And then Real Madrid, based off the expectations that we had going into the season for them, they've massively disappointed. Yeah. Blank season, no trophies, and there's so many ego problems in that team that I think qualifies them to be in the flop team category.
And the other teams, 3, 2, 1, United!
There's a 15th place elephant in the room that you have to acknowledge.
No, Tottenham is on flop team. They won a trophy.
That obviously is my flop team.
I think Tottenham, honestly, winning the Europa League kind of saves them from flop team.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because again, United and Tottenham sandbagged the end of the Premier League season because they were focusing on the Europa League, and fair enough to Tottenham, that paid off for them.
Yeah.
United, this is, you know what, I'm gonna tell nightmare stories to my grandkids about this season for United. And if for when we are back at the top of football,
long may it continue.
Maybe this is delusion of me, but if for when we're back at the top of European football, I will be like, you know, I will come on here, I will cry, I'll be like, you know what, I've been through the fucking trenches of 15th place, watching this team week in, week out, getting smashed by Brentford and the likes. And, you know, this is so good to me. I hope, like you've said before, that hopefully all the losing will hopefully make the winning good one day.
I'm still waiting, brother. I'm still waiting. Don't worry.
I'm still waiting, too. Don't you worry. But anyways, prayers that we'll get to there one day. Mm. This season, stuff of nightmares.
Next up.
Fairy tale.
15th place lad. Fairy tale.
I have Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup.
Me too.
I did too.
Yeah, them and Bologna.
Or Bologna.
Yeah, Bologna too.
Them and Bologna.
Even Newcastle with the Carabao.
Yeah. A little bit PSG too. A little bit.
It's just, for me, it's not a fairy tale because they're not underdogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess if you
they're a little bit underdog. Like, no,
absolutely.
No
one really expects them. At the beginning of the season, no one really expects them. Absolutely. But I didn't want to pepper my list with PSG, so.
Pepper your list.
Is this the best goal now? This is what I want to see. Best moment.
For me, best moment is you presenting the UCL in the Parc des Princes.
That's fair.
Just from the players walking up to all their songs. Yeah. Bakura doing the Machi di Shaho. Yeah.
We're going to have the same moment, I think.
I don't think so.
Mine is the Rice double free kick.
Oh, yes, 100%.
I was using, okay,
just
that's
that
a good one.
In general for you guys?
Yeah.
I guess personally, yes, but I have...
Could be of the year, too.
Go on.
My best moment is like the Crystal Palace Tifo thing.
That's good. That's really good.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of the Suns?
The hugging.
I love that. I love that.
That was like, I mean, that was just like a football best moment.
Yeah, that's fair. Good.
Obviously for Arsenal, like,
Julia?
Maguire's winner against Leon.
Shameless.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's...
Okay,
let's move on. Game of the season.
Oh.
I think we could say it. Like, fair. Objectively, best game of the season.
If you guys have lost
a roller
game, you would say that.
Even he can't keep a straight face, bro. Like,
no, like, as a neutral...
You guys were 5 minutes away from
shit. It's my moment of the season, it being fucking United, brother. You did the same thing with Arsenal, mate.
Yeah,
but I think even objectively...
No win against Southampton.
Yo, our 3-0 win against Southampton at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
But genuinely, I think objectively, that game was fucking nuts. You have to give it credit.
Yeah, it was
as a great moment.
Yeah. It was good.
It's sour because of what happened after, but still.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Go on.
Last thing.
Best goal?
Go ahead.
Best goal.
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine's Antony's versus Espanyol.
Oh!
You know that one where really he cuts one. Inside really and he's like, "Rich!"
Shout out Antony, yeah, man.
This that goal, like, that might be one of the best curlers you're ever going to see, bro.
Just a rocket. Yeah. Rocket and curl at the same time.
Sorry. Honorable mention, Wanyeri against Preston End. Preston North End. No.
Mine's Declan Rice, second free kick.
Yes!
Fair, it did! I knew that was going to get mentioned, so similar to you, I went somewhere else. I didn't know what else to say. I feel like there's not many, like, insane goals to choose from.
Yeah, there's been a couple.
I went with Marmoush's the other week.
Yeah, I was just, fair. Yeah.
I went. I thought too. That was fucking unreal.
Every Lamine Yamal curler.
Yeah.
Could probably. Yeah, I went.
Yeah, Lamine Yamal's second, first goal against Inter.
Yeah, that's what I was.
True.
Yeah.
Just the pace on that thing.
Okay, we did it. I'm sorry. We did it.
All right. And I'll do it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for another great episode of the Six Hour Box Podcast. Thank you, boys, for joining me. Thank you,
welcome
Miles,
back,
for
Miles.
Joining once again.
So good to be
welcome
back.
Welcome back, Miles.
So
round of applause for you again.
And with
ladies
that,
and gentlemen, thank you for another episode of the Sierra Box Podcast, and we will see you next week.
We out.
Thank you. See ya.